We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finner, and we've got a wonderful show for you today. In this half hour, we will be interviewing Michael Smolesh from Temple Israel and Daniel Brill from the singing group Rabotai Acapella. They've done a collaboration called Stand with Blue and White, which we're going to play that during the show as well. We've got wonderful acapella music scattered throughout the show as we are during a time which is referred to as the 3 weeks from the time which marks the commemoration of the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, which started last week and ends in 2 weeks. We'll talk a little bit about that in the second half of the show. Also in the second half of the show is the conclusion of the book of Numbers with the portion of double portion of Matas Masai. It can be found in Numbers chapter 28 and following. We've got a really cool Hasidic story at the end of the show. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Chabad Rabbi Shlomo Noginsky was stabbed outside a Chabad center in Boston. Camp was going on in the building and was immediately put on lockdown. The attacker was immediately arrested. The rabbi was released from the hospital after several hours. Israel sent its IDF rescue team to the Florida disaster site. The Homefront Command delegation is leading the search for victims of that disaster there in Surfside. An IDF soldier was stabbed and her gun stolen in the Jordan Valley attack. The suspect was arrested. The soldier is in moderate condition. Members of an ultra-nationalistic youth movement in Poland left literally tons of building debris outside the Israeli embassy in Warsaw to protest Israel's criticism of legislation that would limit restitution to Jews who had properties confiscated during the Holocaust. There is currently a bill in the Polish parliament that would put a 30-year limit on claims of property confiscated during World War II, which would mean you had to have had your claim in by 1974, or 76, if you want to be liberal about it. In reported acts of anti-Semitism this week, 67 graves were desecrated in Bielska Biala in southern Poland. It's the third time in 6 years. A kosher bakery in Montreal was firebombed with little damage. The bakery is next door to a kosher restaurant that was firebombed earlier this month. A group of teens was caught on video spray-painting a swastika in front of a Jewish-owned house in the Bay Ridge section of Brooklyn. New York Police Department is treating it as a hate crime. Teenagers shattered windows in a 19th-century synagogue in Ovostia, Romania. The Yale University Student Council approved a statement accusing Israel of genocide and apartheid. Two women were filmed vandalizing the Chabad House of San Diego State University. It is the second time this year the building was attacked. In other news, Bahrain officially appointed Khalid al-Jalahama as the country's first ambassador to Israel, while Israel finally opened its embassy in the United Arab Emirates. And finally, New York in the sport. New York Rangers defenseman Adam Fox was named hockey's top defenseman with the Norris Trophy. He is the first Jewish player to win a major NHL award. And that's the news. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier.
Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurances accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Hey, Shul Finman, you're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have a very special guest today for you. It's, let me just tell you, the last time that we in the Jewish Hour interviewed singing artists about a work that they came out with as a new piece and something which we thought was monumental was 1996. So this is I suppose it's been a while, but we have online. We have online from Temple Israel in West Bloomfield, Michael Smolesh, and all the way from Ranana, Israel, Daniel Brill of the group Robotai, and we'll be featuring their song coming up right after this interview. They've done a song called Blue and White, or favorite Blue and White. So it's a wonderful piece, but there's a whole backstory behind it, which is what's really intriguing, is the backstory. So which one of you would like to start out with talking about the backstory behind this song?
I think me and Daniel, one of the singers and arranger, first connected. Let me share that story. Back in Purim, you know how people put out work videos. So we at our synagogue, also Rabotai, this amazing a cappella group in Israel, both managed to get out videos during COVID. And so we saw each other's videos, and we gave each other compliments, and we got in touch, and we kind of stayed in touch. And then Noah's with us. Noah's one of the other singers. He suggested, wouldn't it be great to do something together and bring together the diaspora in Israel, together your denomination with Orthodox Jews to celebrate Achdut togetherness and to celebrate Israel. So we started ideas around this, and I'll let Daniel talk about the creative process. Rabbi Kai really drove it. They're sensational, but we're so proud, and especially now after the last couple months of Israel, man, to put out something that brings America really together to support Israel with music just feels safe.
Okay, so Daniel, you want to add to that?
I mean, that's literally a very accurate explanation of the story as to how it happened. So I mean, definitely the element of unity in Achdut that kind of became center stage of this whole piece, it became quite timely also. I mean, obviously it wasn't something which was planned, but as one's probably aware also in the States, the last month or so in Israel has been quite, shall we say, active, either, you know, defense-wise, politically-wise. So there's been a bit of unrest going on. So to have something that we can come together on from different, you know, sides of the world, but to have that unity within, you know, Am Yisrael is something which we within Rabotai, really enjoy doing, connecting with other Jews from within Israel, in Chul, outside of Israel, to show that it can be done. And it's a matter of, especially with music, it's the thing that bridges. So we had a great time kind of working with Michael and Neil, and it was great.
Okay. I'm just going to whet people's appetites over here because we're going to play it after we get done with the interview. And people will be able to say, oh, yeah, that's really cool. So, but...
Fantastic.
So I just want to know, tell us about the... Daniel, tell us about the group Rabotai. Are you exclusively a cappella, or is it just because this is the time period that we're in?
So, I mean, we started off as an a cappella group, meaning Rabotai Jewish a cappella. Is technically the full name. So we started about 3-4 years ago. But over time, we also built out that when we have events and requests where we bring instruments, we can do it. We also work with instrumentalists, musicians. So we've expanded from just a cappella. But of course, there's times of the year when a cappella is most useful, shall we say, within the context of, you know, projects and events. But yeah, we mix it today. But also for Shabbatot, when we do, you know, whether it's enhancing the tefillah or whether it's painting at meals, and when we don't have instruments on the Shabbat itself. So having a beatboxer and the vocalists who can create that ruach, that kind of added element to the tefillot and also to kind of Shabbat meals and activities, whether it's a beatbox workshop or some kind of what's called in Israel kulanu bashira, where we sing together. We teach people different parts, vocal parts, the bass, the baritone, the tenor, and then we come together as kind of a human orchestra. So all that can be done without instruments. So it's definitely a tool that is very, you know, versatile, but and there's nothing quite like the blending of human voices. But we also use instruments when it's not Shabbat or Chag, and that's also, you know, a lot of fun.
Okay, did you say beatbox workshop?
Yes.
So you teach people how to go.
Exactly. Exactly. I've been teaching beatbox probably for about 10 years or so, I would say.
Okay. Could you give a sample rendition of your best beatbox?
With pleasure. So it sounds something like this.
Okay, now
I gotta tell you, listeners, if you haven't seen Daniel doing that, you gotta go to their site, on Facebook, and just watch him doing it. It's a pleasure.
Okay, now I'm not an expert on beatbox, but my engineer Tony is, and I want to see
right.
Tony's gonna give me like how many thumbs you give up for that. He gave three thumbs, and he only has two.
Oh, wow, that's an honor right there. Three thumbs,
and having an engineer with thumbs is really handy too.
Yeah, indeed. Well, not like me. When it comes, I have like two thumbs when it comes to stuff like that. I'm both left hands, but okay. Now, what impressed me is, as you can probably hear from my voice, what part I really like is you have an amazing bass singer.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's like, it's not really something you can do. Either you got it or you don't. And when I was 12 right. years old, I started saying, you too can drive tractor trailers, which was a commercial that was going around at the time. And so I've always been enthralled with the voice down here. So so tell us, how did you guys all get together?
How we got together? So yeah. Definitely worth to give the bass a bit of a shout out. His name is Brian Hoffman, actually from Baltimore. So he's from the US. The way we met him, for example, we were performing at a Lag BaOmer event in Jerusalem, and he happened to be there. And I had met him a few times before, you know, at Shabbat meals in Nachlaot, in the area in Jerusalem, when I was living in Jerusalem. And someone mentioned to me that he sings, and that so we got talking, and I realized, wow, that voice is a rarity. Even when he talks, he'll talk like that deep as the bass. So it reminded me of Barry White, which is phenomenal.
Okay. Yeah, that's
and that's how that's we met low. Brian, where he came to the event, we spoke afterwards, and then we kind of, you know, and from there, and the rest is history.
Okay, that's way cool. Okay, so Michael Smolash, what really attracted you? You and Neil have done stuff together. You're both performers. You're performers before you were cantors in a temple. And so what was it that really attracted you to do this one? You've done other music videos. You have, it's interesting that Temple Israel actually has like a musicologist on staff whose job it is to compose songs and make videos, et cetera, et cetera. So what did you feel was so unique about this specific song, Standing for Blue and White? Are you there, Michael? I don't hear anything. Are they there?
Part of it was just working with Rabotai, which, you know, as soon as you get in touch with them, you see they're so full of heart. They're so excited about what they do. And they're really taking the idea of reaching out to every Jew. I mean, you feel like, you know, we're a Reform synagogue. So often when I get in touch with people in the Frum world, I have to kind of like navigate a little bit of tension. And then we're just like, hi, we love your work. It's amazing. Why don't we try something? And that's really the heart of the project, right? Of course, the lyrics are crafted to talk about Gula and Mashiach in a way that I think will inspire the Frum world, but also make sense to the Reform world. Because in the Frum world, we also work towards a messianic era, as we call it. So We shouldn't forget, we're working with everybody to bring everybody to Jerusalem, bring peace, bring that time in history. You know, this piece really, really touched on that in such a beautiful way. And you know, it's a well-known teaching that the reason the exile started is because of unnecessary hatred between Jews. And the only way to end it is by unnecessary love of other Jews. So this is that. We didn't need to make a video together. Rabotai is doing great, and we're doing great. But just because we decided it would be the awesome, no reason, let's express our love for each other. Let's invite American Jews and Israeli Jews to express their unity. And as the song says, we hope that brings us back to Jerusalem and really brings an end to our exile.
Okay. If you're just joining us, or if you've been listening the whole time, and we're interviewing Michael Smoller from Temple Israel and Daniel Brill from the singing group Rabotai a cappella. They've done a collaboration together, Standing for Blue and White, which right now I think is only available, you can correct me, on YouTube, and maybe somebody's either the Temple Israel or the Rabotai website. I don't think you can buy it in a store. Maybe is it available? Can you download it on iTunes and Spotify, et cetera, et cetera?
So it's on Facebook. It's on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, all the social media kind of platforms. We haven't put it on iTunes or places like that as yet, but that's an interesting thought to look into. But so far, it's all available to be seen on our page, on the, I think also the Temple Israel page, on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram.
Yeah, just to give you an indication of how hard it is to put things on Spotify, the Jewish Hour has been on Spotify since Spotify's been around. So it's a no-brainer. So it sounds very impressive. You know, the Jewish Hour is on Spotify. And people go, oh, the Jewish Hour is on Spotify. So yeah, you can impress people too. Impress your friends at parties. You know, we have a song on Spotify. So, okay, Michael, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. I can understand, I'm not being glib, I can understand why Rabotai and what they get out of cooperating with Temple Israel. Temple Israel has a following, as a membership of over 4,000 people, and there's a publicity over here, and from there, it's the World Wide Web, and 4,000 becomes 16,000, becomes 135,000, becomes et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What did the bigwigs at Temple Israel think about this whole business?
Well, I think we get out of it, aside from just the joy of doing the project, is, you know, Rabotai, yeah, they're relatively new on the beat, but so are the Maccabees, so is every other act. I think they have all the potential and all the talent to be, you know, Israel's ambassador to the fellow world in a big way. And you know, my what's in Israel was, you know, I was happy to catch with the talented act on their way up. And I can't share Rabotai. And can I share what you're just before online? I'm allowed.
Go ahead.
What was that? Sorry,
Daniel. Am I allowed to share what you mentioned to me about an audition last week, or I have to keep that under wraps?
Oh, the exact audition. That's at the moment technically under wraps.
Oh, but
it's under wraps. Okay, I won't mention it, but. You know, they're doing stuff and they're going places. So, you know, be nice a year or two from now when they're really they wouldn't be willing to work with an outfit like us to have this record. And you know, when you see them, they sound great, they look great. So, you know, Temple Israel looks wonderful being connected to such a great talented Israeli class.
Okay, let's talk a lot about the video itself. It's a very interesting video in the fact that you and Neil Michael, the other chazan, another cantor at Temple Israel, are standing someplace, I'm assuming, in Michigan, and the members of Rabotai a cappella are standing somewhere in Israel, and we have all this scenery flying by. So could you explain, either one of you, either Daniel or Michael, the technical coordination of putting together Standing for Blue and White?
I think since the Stephen Colbert green screen challenge, I think everyone's familiar with the technology of green screen. So, you know, in that one, he went and was fighting with a fake lightsaber in front of a green screen, which is just a green flat surface behind him. And using easy video editing, you can put anything behind him visually. So Noah and Daniel the film us being in front of a green screen because they had a vision for the video of them being in Israel, at Agnes and Hill, and in this very beautiful site. and then they would edit us in so we could be with them, even if COVID, we couldn't fly to Israel.
It's so much cheaper too to do it this way.
A little cheaper.
Yeah. So could you say again? I'm looking at the video. Where was the video filmed, Daniel Real?
Yeah. So the video was filmed in Givat HaTachmoshet, which in Jerusalem. It's a museum which is that commemorates the creation of the state. It tells a story of a lot of those initial peoples. Had an amazing internal museum which you can kind of go into and check out, but also that's the scenery of the trenches, the tanks, and all that battleground arena, and it was a perfect location.
Okay, so now there might be a little bit of a message between the words. The lyrics are, we're all standing, we're all together, we're all really cool, and everything's fine and groovy. And the scenery where it's taking place, it's like tanks and turrets and 50 caliber guns. Is there a dichotomy here that we have to deal with here, the viewer who's watching this on YouTube? Daniel, you take it.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I definitely hear the dichotomy. However, the thought process was, because the nature of the song is meant to be talking about Achdut, Zionism, unity, and kind of a coming home, as it were, to Israel, which, you know, where everyone is in the world. So it's important for the, you know, Israel is the place that this is your home, you know, all is said and done. So to kind of tell that story, but from the beginning of the state, in a way. So it's, even though, you know, you'll see trenches, you'll see tanks, but it's kind of giving that notion that, you know, this home, this is where it started in terms of the modern era. And it's also that the lines are kind of a prayer to God to kind of keep bringing us home. And during this now of, I guess, bringing back back people from the exile, to kind of combine those elements into the lyrics and the scenery.
And I can add, the song is about longing for a peaceful Jerusalem and for wholeness and for everyone to return to that state. My father grew up in Israel, and he'd tell me how before the Six-Day War, tried to approach the border for, you know, there were snipers that would take pot shots at you, or worse. And so no one could go to the cartel, no one could pray for that whole time. And that battle was very much about reclaiming our holiest site and giving Jews access, so that anyone could go there and pray wouldn't be banned from it, wouldn't be kept out by lethal force. So that site represents the battle for Jerusalem. To me, it's key for the whole message of the song.
Okay, that's cool. Either one of you, we're going to wrap it up. Either one of you want to add anything?
From outside, I would just like to say thank you again so much, both to Michael and Neil, for kind of partnering with us and to help bridge the gap that the oceans might face in between us. But when it comes to, you know, the wider picture, it's one family. So even if we have different takes on things, there's always things to agree on. And thank you also very much for hosting us, for coming out here.
Okay, now, Michael, go ahead.
I'll do the appeal. We're trying to really bring people together to support Israel. So after you hear the song on the panel, if you want to spread the message and get more and more Americans who's in line with this, their support publicly, please go find the video. Just type in Rabotai Standing for Quiet. It'll come up in hundreds of places online, wherever you want, and share it in whatever platform, Facebook, Instagram, to get it out to as many of your communities.
Okay, Michael, I'm going to put you on the spot. You've been working together with Rabotai since Purim. That's a good many months. So you want to entertain us with a little bit of your beatbox skills.
I learned, my brother's a music teacher, my brother-in-law, and he said, start with cats and boots, right? That's a very, very basic odd on. It's like cats and boots and that's all I got.
That's where we stop. Boots and cats.
Boots and cats. I got it backwards.
Okay, that's going to do it. We're going to segue straight away. I'm going to say, first of all, say goodbye and thank you so much and continued success. Our guests have been Michael Smolish of Temple Israel and Daniel Brill of the singing group Rabotai from Israel, Rabotai a cappella. They've done a collaboration together called Standing for Blue and White. And it's available online. Just type it in, Standing in Blue and White, and put the word Rabotai, which is spelled phonetically. And we wish you both continued success. And when the Rabotai is big and famous, then we'll play more stuff of your stuff.
Thank you so much.
Okay, we're going to thank you so much. We're not going to take a commercial break, which is normally what we do. We're going to go straight right now to Standing for Blue and White.
Days of our inception, we've been seeking your protection. It's the same thing over and over again. עכשיו כולנו בארצות שונות, כולם שרים בהרבה שפות.
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have up next for your listening pleasure. This is Yossi Leibowitz. The song is called Ha Rachaman Hu Yachzer Lanu Es Bois HaMikdash B'Mikomei, who the Almighty, the All-Merciful, should return the temple to its place. This song is specifically unique for this time because in the year 70, the Romans knocked down the second temple. That was after it had been knocked down
470 years prior by Nebuchadnezzar. That was the first one, which was that was King Solomon's temple, which was built 410 years before that. So this is a time of quasi-mourning, and we commemorate it by not buying new clothes, not decorating our houses, like, you know, like painting and stuff like that, you know, putting in kitchen cabinets and things like that. That can all wait until after Tisha B'Av. Believe it or not, not eating a fruit that we haven't had in quite a while. Like if you haven't had a boysenberry, for example, you know, you have to wait until after Tisha B'Av. Not cutting our hair, not listening to instrumental music, not getting married, not going to concerts. This is how we commemorate the time period. And then next week, which Friday is the first day of the 9 days, it's called, we ramp it up a bit. We refrain from pleasure bathing. That means like going swimming and sitting in the schwitz, that kind of stuff. You can take a shower if you're dirty. Not laundering clothes, believe it or not. And not drinking wine or meat, as these are more ways of showing that we are in a state of mourning and we miss the temple. So we ask during this time, may the All-Merciful return his temple to its place. Rachamon hu yachzir lanu avoidas beis hamigdash. Rachamon hu yachzir lanu avoidas beis hamigdash. Limkoyimot, limkoyimot. Rachamon hu yachzir lanu avoidas beis hamigdash. Rachamon hu yachzir lanu avoidas beis hamigdash. Limkoyimot, limkoyimot. Imo limme ko imo limhe hiro yo me yinu o me inselo limhe hiro yo me yinu o me inselo limhe hiro yo. Oh,
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. This up. This was actually a request. Somebody said, you know, we haven't played any kiddie songs lately. Some people actually do like the kids singing. This is Yeshiva Boys Choir, and this is a standard Es Panecha, which means I can't wait for God to for you to show your face. We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox
help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community, and Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813, or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com. Herr Schulfinman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We're in the period of the 3 weeks. And just to let you know, put out, shout it out over there, the Jewish Ferndale is opening up. We had a wonderful pre-Shabbat first Friday, this last Friday, and people came out. Not exactly in droves. Some people were still wearing masks, which was fine. So there's still... it's still out. The dread disease is still out there, and so to people who want to take precautions, that's fine. And there were people who were there with masks, and but everybody had a good time. We were inside, we were outside. There were people who were enjoying the community garden. People took home various herbs, our lavender crop, as usual. Thanks to my lovely wife, Hannah, is a bumper crop of lavender. If you'd like some lavender, come on by, and you don't have to be there. Just bring your own clippers and clip some. Just do it in an efficient way so it doesn't look like you created a bald spot in our garden. Just, you know, do it in a nice way. That's all we ask. And less than a month, we'll probably have buckets of tomatoes that people can come and pick, various sizes, and I recommend personally the purple ones. Those are my favorite purple tomatoes. Tony, ever have a purple tomato? No, Tony. If they don't get all eaten, I'll bring some. It's just like all you need is one. You'll never want another tomato of any kind. It's just like awesome. So that's what's going on. And so coming up on July the 16th, we'll be doing our first Friday night since March of 2020, and that will be at starting at 6:30 for people to get together, and Kiddush is at 7:30. That you will need to respond. There is a charge for that at the Jewish Ferndale website, which happens to be jewishferndale.com, all one word. And Saturday, which would be the 17th, at 8 o'clock, we're doing a Shalashutas, which is a third meal on Shabbos, which is in preparation for the upcoming fast, which starts at sundown, which is approximately 9:15 on Saturday night, and it continues until 10:51, or maybe 10:49. In Detroit on Sunday night. It's a full fast. It's like Yom Kippur. And we'll talk about that more next week. But we'll be following on Saturday night. So at 10 o'clock-ish, a little after 10 o'clock, we'll be reading the Book of Lamentations, the Book of Lamentations from the Bible, which was composed by the prophet Jeremiah when he realized that the Jerusalem had been destroyed, followed by a tradition at Jewish Ferndale, which has been going on for many, many, many years, the very popular Tisha B'Av stories, where we all sit on cushions on the floor and listen to yours truly explain all the ins and outs of why Tisha B'Av is what Tisha B'Av is, and it's in story form. So this actually it's cute how it started. I don't remember exactly when it started, but when my kids were little, so they would come home from the synagogue, and they weren't ready to go to bed yet, so I told them, okay, sit down, and we'll talk about Tisha B'Av. And we all sat down on the cushions on the floor, and I said, but first you have to get into pajamas. And they all sat down, they all got into the jam jams, and I started talking stories about Tisha B'Av, and one by one they all fell asleep, which I guess as a rabbi I'm used to falling asleep when I talk. But so we have continued it every year since then. I'll have to ask my oldest daughter if she remembers when it started, because I actually don't remember how far back it goes when we started doing it. And you don't have to come in your pajamas. If you want to come in your pajamas, you could. Well, listen, we're free and easy. You don't even have to bring your own cushion. We have cushions. You can sit. That's all very comfortable. Everything's good. And that is on Saturday night, the 17th. And we're trying to organize. There is a custom among Moroccan Jews, and I don't know how this custom started. I guess maybe when they moved to Israel, that on Tisha B'Av afternoon, like late afternoon, there are lots of customs that people do in order to appreciate that Tisha B'Av is a day which is really auspicious for the Messiah's arrival. And my wife was told that the most appropriate thing that you could do was after you've been fasting for like 23 hours with no food or water on a July day is to scrub the floor. Because when Messiah comes, God forbid, your floor should be dirty. So the Moroccan Jews have a custom, which they picked up when they moved to Israel, is that on Tisha B'Av afternoon, they make rugelach, which everybody knows what rugelach is. If you don't know what rugelach are, you have to go online, and I'm just not going to explain it. It's like the Jewish cookie, but it's a European cookie, which just makes me wonder, why are Moroccan Jews making rugelach? And it's really cool how they say it. They say rugelach. And it's also a very good thing that when you've been fasting for 23 hours and you have no food or water to have in the house wafting this fresh baked cookies coming through the house. It's just like, it really enhances your Tisha B'Av, let me tell you folks. So this is all going to be going on at Jewish Ferndale, and contact us at jewishferndale.com for all of those things that are going on there. A little bit about the portion of the week. This week is the portion of Matas Masa. It's a double portion. There are three portions which are associated with the 3 weeks. The portion of Pinchas last week, Matas Masa this week, and Devarim next week. And the Shelah HaKadosh, who was a 17th century philosopher and scholar, wrote a major work. And in it, he purports that any portion or any holiday that come together, it's not if it's the holiday that comes in the time of the portion or the portion that comes at the holiday, there's a connection between the two. And there's something that we can learn by the fact that Pinchas, Matas Masai, and Devarim all fall out during this period when we are commemorating the destruction of the temple. So last week, we kind of sort of mentioned on it that the portion of Pinchas starts that Pinchas stood up and he did what was right. And we kind of indicated last week that you'll see something going on and needs addressing. You'll be the one to stand up and address it. Don't wait for God to take care of the situation. God wants us to take care of it. This week, we have in Matas Masa, we have the war against Midian, which there's a discourse from the Fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe that discusses Midian as an analogy for a character trait within us. And that character trait is not getting along with other people. Because we see in the Tisha B'Av stories a major lead-up, a major cause for the destruction of the Second Temple in Jerusalem was because people weren't getting together one with the other. And what does it say in this week's portion? It says you have to vanquish the Midianites. Total, complete wipeout. Leave no survivors. So that's what we have to do in preparation for if you want Mashiach to come. So we're told you got to start getting along with people. Now, there's somebody that you really don't like, and you think you really have a good reason why you don't like that person. This person did this, X, Y, Z, etc. What it says in the Talmud is that even if someone cuts off your hand, you still need to forgive the person. You don't have to make them their best friend, but you got to let it go. Because that animosity that you're harboring is it's detrimental to you, specifically. Let it go. And then next week's portion, which we'll talk more about next week. So you have the whole portion, every single section of the portion deals something that has a relevance to the holiday of Tisha B'Av, because Devarim was mandated by Ezra the sofer, the scribe, that the portion be read the Shabbos prior to Tisha B'Av. And we have run out of time for this segment, so if you want to find out the connection between next week's portion and Tisha B'Av, tune in next week. We're going to have to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard. The Spex Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Best way, rabbifinman.com. You can answer me any question, pose any comment, criticism, critique of the show, whatever it is that you'd like. That's the best way to reach me is rabbifinman.com. There's also archived editions of the show, archived editions of other things that yours truly puts together. If you want to know what's going on at jewishferndale.com, check out jewishferndale.com and stop by 1725 Pinecrest Drive in Ferndale if you want to see what's going on over there. All kinds of things where we have a reawakening, as the case may be, as it's going on over there. There's also, on both of those sites, rabbifinman.com and jewishferndale.com, the donation page. It's now July. It's a new month. Baruch Hashem, we paid off June, and we need your help to pay July. So you're listening. You're already 50 minutes and change into this listening to this podcast. So do what you can. It doesn't have to be major. We have many people who have done through PayPal. You have to have a PayPal account, which isn't really hard to set up if you don't have one already. $5 a month. And if everybody listening to this podcast would do $5 a month, I wouldn't have to worry about paying for it. But we've had to worry about paying for this show since 1996. And every month we go through the same thing, the same pledge. Baruch Hashem, we've had Jerry Liebman, he should live long and be healthy, has done our pledge since 1996. He was a young man back then, and he's still not so old. And we wish him the best now that he's retired. Unfortunately, COVID got the best of the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. It's really a shame, but things happen. It's the way God wanted it. So go to rabbifinman.com and make your donation today. Don't like internet giving, credit cards, all that stuff. Understand identity theft. There's a lot of really bad people out there, and I don't know why they would do this type of stuff, but it's like, they do. So send your donation of any amount to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48237. Okay, this story flew across my desk this week. Has nothing to do really with anything. It's really a Passover story, but it's a great story. So the scene is the last day of Passover in Israel, which would be the seventh day of Passover. The place is the Torah's Emes Lubavitch Yeshiva in Me'er Shearim, which is where it was located at that time. And the scene is what's referred to as Mashiach Suda, which I suppose you could say Mashiach, since we're talking about Mashiach. So the last meal that's eaten on Passover is called Messiah's Meal. And it's usually done communally. And so there was a whole group of people there. Most of the people there were very homogenized group. We're talking about black hats, black suits, black shoes, black socks, white shirts. And in the middle of all this was a guy who would best be described as wearing clothes and indicating of such of a hippie. He was talking like the 1970s, late 1970s. And he was there too. Definitely looked out of place. But listen, you know, Lubavitchers are cool and easy. Somebody wants to come join a Mashiach suitor, we're not going to stop him. Okay, so the first speaker spoke. And this young man had really no idea what he was talking about. He's talking about some kind of Kabbalistic concepts about Messiah and matzah and these things. He didn't know what it was about. The second speaker was Reuven Dunan, of blessed memory, who was the Chabad representative in Haifa, who was in Jerusalem for the last day of Passover, I gather, from the story, not in Haifa. And he started talking. And he happened to mention something about a tale. That what's the tail? You're like a tail on a donkey. Says the tail doesn't even know it's wagging. It's like an involuntary thing. The dog doesn't know that it's wagging its tail. It just kind of like wags its tail. Tails do whatever tails do. And it says that the tail could even be, you could snip the end of the tail. It wouldn't feel it. And then he looked at this guy and said, say L'chaim. And he said L'chaim many, many times. And then finally, this hippie started crying. So they asked him, what's the story? He composed himself. And he said
that he was engaged to he lives in New York, and he moved to New York, and he lived in a living with a non-Jewish woman, and they were going to get married. Now, this hippie, as we'll refer to him, had Lubavitcher relatives, cousins, and they were really trying to do what they could to prevent the intermarriage. And they told him, you have to go to the Rebbe. And he said, I'm not going to the Rebbe. I don't want to get talked. I like this woman. I'm going to get married to her. So finally they convinced, listen, you know, don't go to the Rebbe. Just go and get a piece of matzah for him. And the day before Passover, he distributes the special guarded shmorah matzah. So he said, okay, fine. So there he is. So he's obviously standing as 1970, whatever. He's dressed like a hippie. He's got the little yarmulke propped up on the top of his head. And the Rebbe started speaking to him in Hebrew, not knowing that he was an Israeli. Yeah, but he spoke to him in Hebrew and asked him, where are you going to be for Passover? And he said, he's going to be here in New York. And he said, your parents would really appreciate it if you went back to Israel. And he said, Rebbe, before Pesach, I can't. He said, nope. So he says, Passover is 7 days. If you'll just go for part of the holiday, Chol HaMoed. So he asked him, where do you live? So he told him he lives in the Ronan district in Jerusalem. He says, really, you live there? He says, you know, there's something called Rehov Meir Sharim. If you'll walk on the last day of Pesach down to the such and such street and Rehov Meir Sharim, there's the Taurus Emes Yeshiva, and they have there a Mashiach Suda, a Messiah meal, and you'll go, you'll participate. So he said, thank you very much. He took his matzah, and he said, oh, and here's some matzah for your kids, for your parents when you go to Israel. So he finished he walked away from the Rebbe, and the relative said, we got to get you to Israel. He says, what are you talking about? I'm not going to Israel. Get off my case. They bothered him. They bought him a ticket. They put him on a plane. And the seventh day of Passover, he found himself walking down Rehov Shmei Sharim, and he said, okay, I'm here. I'm going to do it. This is, you know, there's too much going on. And he realized that when he heard that the tail doesn't even feel its connection, he realized that he was talking about him. And he changed. We don't know exactly the end of the story, but it had a happy ending. That's going to do it for us. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We'll see you next week. Take care.